that now, which was a question of handing over, whether they should hand over to Rainwater or to the district. Our fear is that to give it to a water board, if the municipalities which they will not say, now I know for sure this is only Rainwater and not if they don't pay the closed water and put the people will be up on arms that we have a treatment plan, then but we don't have that. So that has to be finalized. And the issue of Gombela again, Gombela is a city of Gombela and does not have a debt at all. And it's over abstracting from the river, which is not in line. Since 2014, they know the department has been talking about this. I'm hoping that before we go and debate, we will have a meeting, a follow-up meeting to finalize those issues, especially the issues that are in making now. But before, without wasting time, I will hand over to you, Honourable Minister. I was not here when you appeared the first time. I had another meeting in Pretoria. Good to have you. A very critical department, because water is a basic service. It needs to look for the mind. We discuss budget with you because next year it will be the sixth parliament that will be in the meeting. We will mention when you report later in the year. But as for the plan, that is why I'm raising this issue. I'm not sure the dam, it was any dam. There was an issue that people around me to do dam and not to see the water. I don't know whether that one was finalized since 2014 we are talking about. If these matters could be finalized, at least before we leave, we will know that we have made impact on the different politicians. I'll hand over to you, Honourable Minister. I will give you an hour for everything. To then give a member 30 minutes to end. But I will not limit the 30 if they have no issue to raise. The issue, members, you know that the issue of financial issues in the department will not be part of this. We can raise them. There are outstanding issues. I think the thing that we do are about that. Yeah, but I agree that we possibly will concentrate on the issues of the plan. If we see that there are issues that are great, those are the issues that we can raise.
Good morning and thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. So you started to put something that is interesting in the sense that that's really where we are stuck right now. The situation. And what's our situation? I was also starting with that matter because the reason being that it is a very topical matter that I've found in my family as well. Topical because we have now this Iani project. Iani water project is supposed to be an emergency. The president again went and he said by October of the year. Now, this is a good example of what I'm talking about. Today, still people don't know where I went there last night. I went again. People say we had a meeting with leaders, we had a meeting with police. They're saying the infrastructure has been laid here. And in terms of the report I had also, it was the first time it was and 3.5 billion that has been spent to lay out in the structure, but there's no water. Water has Australia doesn't have money. There's a poor run municipality. I was going to, the reason I was going to start with it is because I wanted to persuade the committee that they, I said yesterday I was part of the president of the agency. Because I can't do that. I was there. People said to me, infrastructure is late. In fact, people are beginning to destroy it because they're frustrated. Because there's no water that's coming to us. We see the water, we see the infrastructure data. There's no water coming to us. So I then said to them, they requested, those, some of them are councillors, they requested that we deprioritize the situation. Now, I don't want to start in a situation that says, no, regulation is not our responsibility. It's a responsibility of local government. When local government says we don't have the money, I don't agree with that. I think we should look at that, but we work towards within the law. And of course, as a result of this, there are 55 villages there. They said at 38. We have to do that. The DDG is letting them through the evaluation, so we'll look at that. We're with the municipality, and I've requested the premier, I've already written with the premier, to request them to get somebody who's going to work with it, with our own team and the municipalities, to develop a plan where we can, all of us, work together and make sure that we have a positive people. Because even if 154 boreholes that have been created into the award, what we call it, the boreholes were important. You bore them. You drill them. The boreholes that have been drilled. Because there's no water. People have vandalized it, So it now becomes wasteful expansion. So we I'm very happy that you already studied development. Even this one, of the overland water, even now, the current, just a couple of days ago, the challenge between overland water and the Takanye and the other one, I can't remember the other. There's a city or two. But this other one takes the definitive grant. That's 2 days ago. They take that overland water. Now they were discussing with Takanye. Because who shared the same with Shepherd and Scotland? He did send me a message to say, look, could you handle it? And we directed to the chairs, said to them, they must discuss with the municipality. The municipality must also not allow a situation where they must go to rent water when they're challenging. Because I met with all the boards last week, Friday, and said, we're great that let's work as a sector so that we solve problems collectively. Yeah, so the chairperson sent a message yesterday to say, I've been paid, we have been paid by. And then she said, even the Japanese didn't have a problem. So she was happy. And Scotsman also sent me a message to say, things are moving. Mm-hmm. The point is, Chair, you spot on, that's the point I'm making here. You spot on the natural resource. Chair, the wastewater treatment works, again, it's a municipality responsibility, again. However, we are responsible and we are custodians of water. If the treatment plants are not treated, the water treatment plants are not treated, that water that goes out, whatever goes out there, goes to the rivers and pollutes the rivers. So ultimately, we are responsible. Because when the water that reaches people is polluted, it's not the responsibility of the... It's the responsibility of Department of Water and Sanitation. So all of these things, we have to work on that. What we have decided we will do is when, after looking at the department as well, is to actually establish, it should have been done. Look at electricity. There is NERSA, there's NERSA. There should have been that kind of authority on water. You know, so we should have that. So that it actually can control even that water, those treatment plants, whether they are in municipality or under whoever. remember we in our design, when we started looking, this was the local government system, we said whatever what it is would be either district or local government system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these can't themselves in all respects, they don't have the physical, the human resource capacity to some extent. Some of them don't even have the money to do it. So we have to find a way then through that the establishment authority like that, which is what we're going to do very fast. It's one of our five transnational pillars. Establish that as soon as possible so that it can be the one that acts like the next the left side in terms of regulation of water and so on. That's what we need to do so that we can get away from this thing of bureaucracy. For saying, you know, you are not responsible for water rights. This is an inspiring responsibility for situation. That authority, which we have, but in a limited way, limited it ourselves, that authority must ensure that it does. That's what electricity is about. We have there's an IMTT that's established now under the leadership of Minister Zoli. It's actually beginning to bring us all together under one roof on electricity and water. And so this model is going to work very well in that sense. So I think we will resolve it. Hopefully we will develop that model. Those are busy with that now. We'll develop that model in the next 5 months. So then we can obviously the new team that is coming will take over and implement it. So Chair, I'm saying thank you very much for raising this question, because take this question we raised here about containment, something huge is possible. And there's no dam that's servicing like this. It's a matter of time before there's a problem. Big problem. Exactly. So thank you very much for Zimu. Zimu was designed in 1961-62. That's when this thing was designed. But I just learned that there has been a design in the department where there was a price amount of 124 million rands for Zimbu. What is this for? It was designed. Now, but nothing happened. The president was taken there, turned the sword before the election 2014. That's right. You know?
Of course,
and that's
right, so you need
out. Yeah.
Not to blend
out. That's right. Now, we have been, how are we going to respond to this? It's the same, as I said, the president was there, said the song. Yes, it's going to happen in October. So those are one thing that you talk about that you actually hit the nail on the head. And that is what really, I think, at a broad level, I would like to feel that. Build a beautiful, very good, to build fast India. I went to see it when I was there. That one, that is, if you want to raise it, like, you can do it so that you can accommodate it more. But then it means, I asked them, do you have a similar plan in other districts? They say, no. But this is a beautiful one. Good one in terms of what it does. You can see the movements, all of these things, what just dead water coming in, purification, all of that. And as it leaves, you can see it's completely clean. But what they do, beautiful, they don't send it straight to people, they send it to the river. So that it fills the dams, it can benefit more people. So that's why I was saying, we need to look at district, other districts in the report. When I said to the Premier, I would like us to have a meeting, because I want to do that with other premiers as well. Because every province has got its own challenges. The Eastern Gate has got 9 rivers that are running to the sea. How many dams do they have along the economic coastline? Very few is getting. The Tatas is there. And I think there's a dam that is whatever. People don't get water because of the past history. So those are things that, in terms of reticulation, I'm talking about one big subject. Where there are dams, reticulation is a failure because we didn't empower municipalities in terms of the finances. It's a
지금 한국에 가면 되
I wonder to at least give us a process when I go to the home and if we have an excellent
time. Yeah, the matter has been is being handled with the presidency and the DPSA. They have suggested the challenge is that there are many that there are some tensions which they think if we employ without those means getting resolved because in some instances what they suggested to me who they want to send. So that's why we appointed the president. They will send somebody here. I was hoping that that would be the first of May when those were agreed. And but they would also try to resolve the other thing in relation to that family. So there will be someone coming to us. That's why I would avoid it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It cannot wait, but I'm under the impression that the news is out here until the end. Yeah, but if it's urgent, you can ask. Okay, I hope that you ask later, but if it's urgent,
you can ask. No, I'm still on the issue of news. The people of proposal, minister, also the deputy minister, after power to win, if only you win on a higher MC, we are area in the family of the in the piracy provincial provincial fire park, the ambulance department, also the department from head office, national. But we are going to go back, a walk out from the Ranane community. Now we are going to see what in the state up for the vendor. But the community abako aware by the process. Abako akavane babe informed about what is going to happen in the area. But the people proposal said between the two bakeba and the bios bonela lejongutwa is a one second. But because abanye bathethe into, abanye bathethe into. The provincial government, I call aware by the program, but the head office, in Nendo and Nayo, it's a prepaid Malenaka, it went to Lumsalin, Abanya Bayas, Tammy, Puba Bandendo, Bakaluba, who had an affinito, in the head of that project.
Hello,
Johnny.
Nothing is I was going to propose that maybe. Unfortunately, the minister is not here today. There are issues that we have to address also for our province, but maybe put it a first stage of application. So, the management.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to do the introductory remarks, and my colleague Chairman Bowles is going to do a detailed presentation. But I'll ask him not to take the committee through all the slides because our presentation is long and detailed to each province up to a municipality level. I'm going to touch on the legislative mandate and the regulatory environment that informs our planning and budget. In the main, with our constitution. The Public Finance Management Act, and there are other additional legislation like the Public Audit Act, the Money Bills, Public Service Act. Then we also have policies and other regulations that inform our planning. of the planning process. We derive our mandate from the Constitution, the national legislation and policy framework, the sector-specific legislation and policy framework, and government legislation and policy framework, then our internal departmental policy arrangements in terms of our top management structure, where our planning process unfolds. Then we look at kind of the alignment of our planning to international and government programs. We look at the sustainable development goals, specifically SDG 6, the top 16 water and sanitation. Then the NDP, we contribute to 5 chapters. Then the medium-term strategic framework, the top 14 outcomes, and as department, we contribute to 5 outcomes. Then the national water resource strategy objectives, then how we align to the 14 outcomes. Then in terms of the current budget structure, we have 12 programs as they are on our APP, which is administration, water planning and pollution management, water infrastructure development, water sector regulation. But in terms of our mandate, we are reorganizing ourselves as a department for us to deliver on the mandate that we have as a department. And we are implementing the interim organization structure as a matter of agency for us to improve efficiency in the department. The proposed new structure will be the planning, monitoring and evaluation, the infrastructure build and maintenance, water and sanitation resources and services reform regulator, corporate support services, the financial management services, and lastly, the international obligations and integrated governance. Let's talk more on the internal structure and support support in the Office of the DG. But in the main, we've embarked on the 5 key strategic pillars that will encompass all our work going forward as a department. The 5 key strategic pillars, pillar 1 talks to National Water Resources and Services Authority, pillar 2, National Water Resources and Services Regulator, pillar 3, Water Resources and Services Value Chain, pillar 4, the Water Resource and Services Market Plan, and lastly, the Institutional Rationalization of National Alignment. As we move forward, we'll provide more details in terms of the detailed work that is done under these 5 pillars. Let me ask Trevor to run through the detailed presentation in terms of the provinces, in terms of the work that we do. Without waste of much of time, Trevor.
Thanks, Madam Chair, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Trevor Bolson. I'll try and run through the presentation quite quickly on the cross-reference to the APP and the EME, but I'll do that by way of just referring you to the document as I run through it quite briefly. It's a long presentation, but I'll try and skip through over some of the slides which you can go through at your leisure. Just the content, it's in 4 parts, I'm not going to read that. The strategic overview, the DG has already covered that. In terms of the governance of water and sanitation, I think the issues raised by yourself, Madam Chair, and also the issues raised by the Minister in terms of his overview, confirm the complex environment in which we provide water. And that slide just shows you in one slide, the number of institutions which are involved with water, from the provinces on the left-hand side under the Premier, the Executive Mayors, water service providers, and then on the right-hand side, Minister of Water with the agencies and the department reporting to the Minister of Water and Sanitation. Apologies, I didn't realize it was on. With the water boards, the Water Research Commission, the TCTA, the CMAs, and of course the department. And what we've done on the color-coded lines, we've just tried to show the interlinkages, and it really demonstrates our complex our water and sanitation architecture is at the moment, and this is what results in some of the sort of the gaps where we put in infrastructure and we suddenly find that local government haven't gone ahead and planned to put in the reticulation. And ministers raised it sharply this morning and yesterday in respect of the issue he found at the Arne, where you've got 45 villages which have got bulk water supply but they don't have any reticulation at this stage. Mm-hmm. Subsequently, as a consequence of that, you're getting vandalism taking place. And that's not the only place where it's happening. You go to Northwest, you'll see vandalism taking place there. You go to KZN, where there's bulk infrastructure in. You go to Mpumalanga, the same thing you see happening. So you can go across all of the provinces and you'll see that type of thing happening. In terms of our internal processes, I've just given a slide there that shows the timeline of when we started the strategic planning process. It's a regulated timeline, so when we come for the 2018-19 or 2019-20 plan, it'll be the same thing, just with the dates set aside, changed. And those are dates which are regulated by the presidency in terms of DPRD and also by National Treasury in terms of when documents have to be submitted. This slide, Gizzy has already gone through in terms of linkages, so I'm going to go straight into the performance environment. And just by way of introduction, I'm going to talk around us coming out of the drought at the moment and just touch on one or two slides which will demonstrate that we're not out of the woods yet. And that particular slide there just indicates groundwater level trends. And you'll see for the period on the right-hand graph, the period 2015 to 2017, that the Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo, Northern Cape and the Western Cape are still in red zones. And the reason for putting that up there, Madam Chair, honourable members, is just to remind us that even though we might have had rainfall in the summer rainfall areas, we haven't yet had rain in the winter rainfall area, it's going to take at least a season to two seasons for our systems to recover, even with normal rain. It's not going to recover overnight. The next slides, what we've done, we've indicated the levels of restrictions which are still in place, and you can see that we still have restrictions in place in the Eastern Cape, in Algoa in particular, in Free State, in the greater Bloemfontein and Mangaung area, in KwaZulu-Natal, in Ogoni and Fatuzi in particular, Limpopo in Polokwane, and the Western Cape, the entire Western Cape is under restrictions at the moment. And then, Madam Chair and honourable members, just to remind you that the Minister for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, Minister Mkhize, in March this year, declared a national disaster, national state of disaster in terms of drought across the country. And we're dealing with the outcome of that at the moment. If one just picks up onto the issue, Madam Chair, which you raised in terms of debt, and which Minister touched on as well, I think in terms of this water balance, that particular slide there gives us a stark indication of water that's been lost through the systems, through non-maintenance of our systems. So if you look at the two blocks on the right-hand side, the revenue for water, you'll see that nearly 41% of the water, and that's mainly in urban areas, is not billed for. So even though the municipalities might have billing systems in place, 41% of their water doesn't go through a billing system. And that's why you're seeing this increase in debt, in that we charge our rates for water, which is taken. The municipalities don't use quite a percentage of that water that they're expected to pay for it. And you see that increasing debt level. In terms of that balance, Madam Chair, I'm not going to go through them in detail. I just look at the Eastern Cape by way of example. What we've done for you, we've looked at each of the provinces and we've indicated the water losses by quantity of water and also what we see as non-revenue water. So that second, the third column there, non-revenue water, if you look at the Eastern Cape, there's 158 million which is not billed for. Which we need to deal with those billing systems. Now, COCTA had done some exercises in terms of the 27 priority district municipalities. We where they were looking at these particular issues to see what strategies can be put in place to turn things around. But it looks quite grim, particularly with regard to the rural district municipalities. So I won't go through all of those, Madam Chair, if you don't mind, but just stop me if you wish. Then in terms of dams, and Madam Chair, you raised the issue about Mbombela, that doesn't, is a capital city and doesn't have a dam of its own. But what we've given here is a list of the dams across the country. And you'll see there in the second column on the right-hand side that we've got 5,511 dams across the country, but only 854 of those are state-owned dams. But those state-owned dams carry 94% of the capacity. The rest of the dams are either dams within the mines and industries and business, and the largest number, 4,322, are within agriculture. And those would be smaller dams which are used for irrigation purposes. The detail of those dams, as they're distributed by province, we can also provide that to you as well. Then we just give you the sizes in terms of class, and that we do because of our dam safety regulations. Just further on the drought, we've just kept a slide in there just to show you the current status of our dams. And if you look at the second to last row at the bottom, Madam Chair, the Western Cape, you'll see that the Western Cape of all of the provinces is still looking the worst at 16.6% of our dam levels currently, compared with 20% last year. We're a winter rainfall area, and we hope that towards the end of this month into June that we might get some rain that will replenish our systems. But we're still in a four-year drought cycle, and we're trying to manage the system as tightly as we can. What is vast a bit, if you look at the Eastern Cape, the second column on the top, you'll see even though the Eastern Cape shows a 96.8% level this week, what you don't see in there, and we can provide the information, is that if you look at Algoa in particular, Nelson Mandela Bay, you'll see that we're down to about 25% there, and that we've got quite significant restrictions in place in Nelson Mandela Bay. And you've got these pockets of small areas across the country where you've got drought conditions. Northern Cape, quite heavy restrictions in place in those areas which rely on groundwater, even though the surface water looks reasonably good. The organisational environment, I'm just going to get that now into the APP issues. DG has run through it before, four programs: administration, water planning, information management, water infrastructure, and water sector regulation. And in terms of his introduction, he did also indicate to you how we're wanting to change that organizational structure in terms of the five pillars, which the minister has indicated as his strategic direction. So you'll see a slightly different architecture in terms of the way we report going forward, but we'd have to present this to you in terms of the performance plan, the APP, which has been tabled in Parliament. So the presentation today is consistent for the APP, but we'll have to amend that as we go forward and we implement the strategic direction which our Minister is taking us. Just to indicate, there's always quite a bit of discussion around the capacity of the department. Currently, the department has 5,800 posts. We have 1,016 vacancies at the moment, which is 14.9%. And in terms of the discussion which we had with the Minister yesterday, it was indicated that we'd be having a look at those vacancies against the budget and have a look, see what critical posts can be taken forward to be filled to make sure that the strategic direction that the Minister is taking us can indeed be realised. So we look at the budget in that regard in terms of those vacant posts. Just to look at it by race and gender, I've those slides are in there as well. I'm not going to go through them in detail, but you've got the representation of the SMS, the representation of SMS by gender. You'll see still a slight dominance of males in the SMS level, 54% to 46% of females. So we still have to try and get to that 50-50, Madam Chair.
Yeah,
Madam Chair, the next slide is one which you have in the APP. It just indicates the structure of the APP from vision, mission, values, and goals, and in terms of the objectives using the scorecard. Scorecard perspective, and on the bottom right hand side you'll see what the color coding represents. So the program descriptions, administration, water planning, water infrastructure, water sector regulation, and then of course the water trading account. You've got those descriptions, and I'm not going to go through them in detail. Looking then at the MTF allocation, Madam Chair, the numbers that we give you, which once we've gone through the exercise we're doing with the Minister at the moment, those numbers might change going forward, and by the time we deal with the final appropriation, but those are the numbers which you will find in the E&E, particularly on page 751, where we've got a budget this year of 15.571 billion, going up in the outer year 2021 to 17.4 billion. So that's the budget we're working on. The way that budget is distributed, I'll come to it in a moment in the programs, but the distribution, you might find a slight change as we go forward compared to what's been published in the E&E, just to accommodate the change in focus on some of the programs. So around administration, and Madam Chair, in terms of the APP, you'll find that detail on page 34 onwards in the APP, which is a document that you have, and the focus areas there are targeted procurement, an efficient, effective, high-performing organization, coordinated development of skills, and that comes back to those slides which I showed you on the vacancies, and also the learning academy and the learners which are coming through on the working on the program. Targeted Sustainable African Global Cooperation and Support, and that's the, if you cast your mind back to the structure which we're working on with the Minister, that's where we have our international obligations. And 5.2, informed and empowered communities and responsive to integrated and sustainable partnerships, so that's our IGR focus. The budget, Madam Chair, for administration, you will find that on page 759, I think it is, of the page 759 of the E&E, and those numbers are as they are there, 1.714 billion for this year, and that covers issues from the ministry through to departmental management, financial management, office accommodation, and internal water support, and the APP is then built around that particular budget. Program 2, water planning and information management, you'll find that in the details of the APP from page 41 onwards in the APP document, page 41 onwards, and the budget figures for that you will find on page 763 of the E&E. The programs there, enhanced running through enhanced management of water and sanitation information, integrity of fresh water ecosystems, and that, Madam Chair, is an area that we need to particularly focus on. And Minister touched on the issue of the wastewater treatment works up in Guyana, where he's indicating that a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment works have been put in place to make sure that we've got good quality water going back into the river systems for use again by other users. That's not the case across the country, and we've got to try and address that in the municipal space as well. Enhanced water use efficiency, and I've already touched in one of the earlier slides the issue of the large water losses in the systems, where we've got 41% losses in the municipal systems in particular. 2.1, a coordinated approach to water and sanitation infrastructure planning, and that would include the BEP program planning as well. The targeted and aligned planning and adequate water availability, 4.1, enabling environment for the management of water resources and the provision of basic water and sanitation. So those are the focus areas within the planning environment, and that, as I said, will change as we reconfigure the way the department is doing its business at the moment. Let me just go to the slide now. I'm just going to take off the slide. Sorry, what page is that? That's pretty cool. Sorry about the delay there. But if you go to your hand copy, you'll see what we've done there. We've just indicated in the blocks for each of the provinces the planning that has already been done. You'll see the master plans, and those are the municipal master plans at the district level for each of the provinces, the audits that we've undertaken with the municipalities, and as well as what we call the MUSA, that's the Municipal Self-Assessment Program, which we implement, and we've just given you an overview of the status of that per province, just as a highlight. I'd like to give this to you for quickly. The next, and then the last slide under program two is just the way the budget is broken down. Program three is infrastructure development, and this is the element that normally generates the biggest level of interest. This is where our infrastructure build program will be found, and you'll find the budget details on page 762 of the ENE, and you'll find it on page 46 onwards. Page 47. Page 53 onwards, you will find the details in the APP. And the key areas there, the focus areas, are adequate water availability, enhanced provision, safe, reliable water supply, water and sanitation services, enhanced provision of sustainable and dignified basic sanitation, targeted rural development initiatives in terms of smallholder farmers, job opportunities created to expand economic opportunities for historically excluded and vulnerable groups. And if I take you to the slide, this medium again, I'm going to take you to page 39 on your on the document you have in front of you. What you will see there is you'll see there, Madam Chair, we've given in the blocks there just a snapshot of some of the projects which are being, the numbers of projects which have been implemented in each of the provinces. Just using Limpopo by way of example, and I'll just stick on Limpopo. There are two water resources projects being implemented there. There are 16 water services projects, of which 8 are completed, and there are 16 infrastructure grant programs that are under construction in Limpopo as well. And that detail, Madam Chair, we have submitted an Appendix 1, which was circulated to you. I'm not going to go through it, but that gives the detail breakdown per province. And that document is available for you to peruse as we move forward. And I don't cost you anything. I'm also talking to myself in this. So the MTF allocation, which I've already indicated the reference to you in the ENE, just the breakdown of that budget, and you'll see, Madam Chair, that's a big portion of that budget, of the department's budget, sits in program three, which is 12.4 billion. And the two largest elements there are strategic infrastructure, 2.2 billion on the first line, the third line, 5.6 billion regional park infrastructure, and 4.2 the water services infrastructure. And I think, Madam Chair, this is where the disjuncture comes in, which the Minister has made reference to, is that we're going ahead and we're putting in bulk infrastructure, but the municipalities are not keeping up with us with their mid-grants in terms of putting in the connector and the reticulation infrastructure. So consequently, you have the situation which the Minister referred to in Guyana. And as I said in the introductory remarks, that's not the only area where that's a problem. If you then have a look at the grant breakdown, and this is just, if you go back, the 1.9, where did I find that figure? Let me just sort of stick there. But that's the regional bulk infrastructure, and we break that information down by province, and in this appendix, it's then broken down to a municipal level as well. So we give it to you now at the provincial level, and then in the appendix, it's broken down in terms of the local government recipients. And the regional bulk, I'm going to go back again, is in two parts. There's a grant, which transfers straight to the municipalities. And this is the issue also discussed with the Minister yesterday, is that despite the fact that you might have dysfunctional municipalities, we still, by law, are required to transfer those funds to the municipalities and then hope that they implement and have capacity to implement. So that's the issue which was the Minister raised quite sharply with us. And then the indirect grants, that 2.8 million, that's where the department implements on behalf of the municipalities and might use water boards and others as implementing agents to do that. So if you go on to the next slide, you'll see the allocation of budget to four of our water boards who do the implementation of the grant funds on our behalf. And the total water in the Eastern Cape, Magalies, which straddles part of Limpopo and Northwest, Stedibem, which straddles Northwest, Free State and Northern Cape, and then Mgangi, which is entirely within KZN. I've given the information also on the direct grants as well by province, and then it's broken down by municipality as well. I'm coming to the end, Madam Chair. Water sector regulation is our last program, and the budget for that you will find on page 765 of the E&E, and you'll find it on page 64 onwards in the APP. But the key programs are to protect our water resources, through water supply, sanitation services, freshwater ecosystems, and protect it from acid mine drainage, equitable water allocation, sound governance and oversight of the DWS public entities. And this is the area, Madam Chair, which the Minister will make reference to in terms of the need for a regulatory authority in the water sector, similar to what we have in NERSA. And it's the work that you do within this particular area, on this particular program, which would be impacted by the direction which Minister is referring to. If I could then take you to the slide presentation again, the paper copy on page 48. And there once again we've given a representation of some of the work that's been done. And I will just use Limpopo by way of example again. And Madam Chair, this is, if you, the three blocks that we have there, or the three lines that we have there, the GD is the green drop assessment. In terms of assessment in Limpopo, we've done 64 assessments. In the blue drop, we've done 71 assessments. And we find that there are 33 non-compliant systems that have been assessed. That means that those systems are either putting water back into the rivers, which is highly polluted water, or else they are not meeting the standards in terms of their water purification capacity. And you can see how that impacts across the country. And the worst performing provinces are Northwest, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KZN, and the Eastern Cape. Tend to be the provinces where we've got the biggest, can I call it failure? I suppose I can. Failure. Non-compliant systems. So they basically fail. They're not doing what we expected them to do. That's a harsh way of putting it, but that's the reality, Madam Chair. Okay. So what I'm going to do now from slide 51 onwards, Madam Chair, I'm going to go through and just deal with some of the budget shortfalls. Given the budget that we have, we've identified areas where even with the budget that we have, there are some shortfalls. I don't know whether you want me to go through them line by line, but on that first slide, a shortfall in terms of what we would want to do is 1 billion, and that covers the Gianni services, the Butterworth emergency, and the maintenance of infrastructure, particularly war and leaks. And you'll see I put in there in brackets war and leaks just to reference it. In terms of Minister's direction that he's given us, is that that's part of infrastructure management, and it's got to be seen as maintenance of infrastructure. So gradually, you'll see the reference to war and leaks disappearing, as we get used to not using that lexicon any longer. And then accruals at the bottom there of accruals, accruals of 1.025 billion. Sorry, Madam Chair, that highlighted there, when I opened the slide, I read that as a summation of the top two. It's not a summation. It's those four items individually. My apologies for misleading there. On the next page, the outstanding transfers to municipalities and water boards, 198 million. Funds surrendered to National Treasury, 486 million. And what we refer to as a bank overdraft of 134, so the total shortfall is in the order of 3 billion. And that's what we're working with our finance team, and we'll be presenting to Minister tomorrow as to how we're going to manage those issues going forward. Just trying to think about how to do this. I think I'll skip this slide, Madam Chair. These slides just give you a breakdown of the information that I presented earlier on, where we're trying to do an analysis to see how we deal with the shortfalls. So this particular slide indicates that if we take into account our commitments, our contractual commitments paid in the current year, with a goods and services budget of 1.5 billion, that there could be 687 million which we could use to deal with that shortfall. And that, Madam Chair, is still subject to discussion and sign off with Minister. Likewise, in Schedule 6B of the direct grants, where there would be a budget of 364 million to deal with some of those shortfalls that we have. So if you take those accounts, take those amounts into account on this slide here, the 687 million, million, the 364 million, which gives us that total of 1.051 billion, and the confirmed shortfall of 1.5 billion, we still need to try and find 524 million to be able to cover the shortfall. The water trading entity, you'll recall when we showed you the structure, that the water trading entity is sits in the department, it's audited separately, and it handles the revenue components of the department, and funds some of the work that is done by the National Water Resources Infrastructure and the Proto CMAs. And if you look at that column on the left side, it's infrastructure development, operation, construction, and engineering. And in the Proto CMAs, water use allocations, water quality, water use control, and planning information. And the financial management is covered in those five pillars at the bottom there. SCM being supply chain management, financial accounting, management accounting,
revenue
management, and asset management. Thanks, Paul. Sorry about that. So the RM being revenue management. And where do we get our revenue for the trading account? The sources of funding, 11.2 billion, that comes from augmentation, which comes as an appropriation of our parliament and goes into the trading account of 2.2 billion. And then there's also exchange revenue, which amounts to TCTA 5 billion, the CMAs 430 million, and the infrastructure branch 3.2 billion. So that's just a summary of the sources of revenue. And then to break that down, the augmentation fund to NWRI is 300 million, finance branch 271 million, capital infrastructure projects 1.1 billion, and asset mine drainage of 350 million. And that's the way the augmentation fund is broken down. And then I also give you the detail on the exchange revenue. The next slide, which I think is about my fourth last slide, just indicates the infrastructure projects, which are on the order book, so to speak, at the moment, and showing you the budget for those projects for the 18-19 year and the two outer years due to 2020-2021. And you'll see projects like the Greater Letaba and the Olifants River projects, acid mine drainage, Mokoro, with budgets which run through into the subsequent financial years. Those with small amounts in this current financial year would be the closeout of those particular projects. Minister also referenced, I think, the Olifants project of the WIRP, where you've got the WIRP standing there completed. That 10 million relates to the closeout of the project, but much of that water can't be used by municipalities because reticulation is not in place and some of the bulk infrastructure, distribution infrastructure, needs to be completed. So the, just to go to this slide, in terms of the trading entity, there's been a lot of discussion around the fact that the trading entity is operating in an overdraft, which is basically as a result of the non-payment of the water boards and the municipalities to the department. The water board, the municipalities don't pay the water boards. So consequently, the water boards can't pay the municipality. So it just has a knock-on effect. And as a consequence, the trading entity then goes into deficit. And we are currently using income to cover the overdraft. So the surplus this year of 748 million will be used to reduce that that overdraft. And if you look at the last line there, there was a meeting that took place with Treasury on the 31st of March with an overdraft where the overdraft was 2 billion. And by the end of March, we had that down to 1.5 billion. And so as we get revenue in, we will reduce that overdraft that we have on the trading entity. I think I've covered it basically. The slide doesn't tell any more, and that's in. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, you will have observed here that you have the current, what was presented here reflects the current situation in terms of even the structure and how things will work. But DG has presented the transition to the business where we have the interim organizational structure, which is different. Because we have realized that if we proceed with the current structure, you're not in a position effectively to monitor what is happening on the ground. Because each one of them, there are only three, I think there are three of them, because the bottom is tremendous. one of them deals with a myriad of things. And a lot of money. It's a recipe for disaster. Don't want to call it what it is. What kind of disaster? It's a recipe for that kind of disaster. Where you in Guyana, you spend 3.5 billion rand and no water issues at anywhere. It's because it's not just a human factor. It's a structural problem in the department itself where you are not able to supervise, monitor, and evaluate what the money is producing on the ground. So I'm dealing with that. So I would be happy if, as we move along, because we're already introducing the structure, which delineates a lot of the things that takes them, some of them, away from one to the other. This is what I'm doing, and I would like to keep you informed on that, because I want us to, within the next 3 months, not 5 months, but the next 3 months, to finalize that so that we can implement it. It will bring, it will make a difference, not just in terms of spending, but in terms of monitoring and evaluation of that. The last one is, with regards to the water trading entity, again, we see prominence and problems. We're part of the TCTA, because of that. Now that in rural development is an agency which we have is still working. It's audited separately by the auditor general. As a result, because it accounts directly to the chief financial officer, and it is there in the financial management system. This is a standalone one. And I'm not sure it is right. So I'm going to discuss that with the Auditor General and Treasury. Yesterday I did say that to the chief of the president, because I want that to be the same model as that ALHA one in your development level. And then it is managed directly by the CFO, because it gets money. So as it gets money, money must be in the primary of the department, and managed there, because it's money that's the money that is doing a lot of movement. So it can be standalone. So that's one of the things that you're going to see. And please assist me, rather support me when we come and say, let's look. Because when I'm speaking on Tuesday, I'm going to say, this is what you have in terms of structure, this is what I'm introducing now, in order to deal with the problems that we have. It's a structure, systemic problem. Thank you very much,
I was going to comment about it even before I open for members to make input, but my worry is that you're talking about shortfalls that Myanmar has since 2014. Now not as a chairperson, as a person representing Myanmar in September. I still make that a personal. It can't be that you talk about one thing from 2014 until today. Nothing is shown in your place. I don't know what you're going to do with them, just a short thing. But the way I am, people want to bring them together. Even money for planning, people show the commitment. Moving for good then, I only see 100 million. I don't see money on the outside. There has to be something. At least there must be an indication that something is going to happen. The recreation thing that you're talking about is the main thing. The push population woman is the area where they are more protected about water. There's the biggest dam there in Yamadeli, built by the department. There's the biggest water treatment plant today. But people don't have it. Biggest. Same with the art. Besides the ocean, we talk about something else. But people don't have it. It's regulation. I was saying when you read it, but I don't see money speaking to what you're saying. So let me open for members to speak. I'm just preparing you that your shortfall may be bigger than that. I don't know where you're going to get money, but this thing that I'm raising, members will raise other issues that we've been talking about for a while. Let me start with Oran Group. the Honourable Zan.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Let me thank the department for this comprehensive presentation. It's quite difficult. It's not that we could go through each and every slide, but
mm-hmm.
I think we got a gist of what is happening, which is actually a good thing. Honourable Minister, the last time when you were before us, when you appeared here, there's an issue of the incomplete projects that we have. And I think we had a lengthy discussion about it, about how are we going to deal with all these incomplete projects. Where the department has funded a municipality. The municipality came with a business plan and said, no, there's a project. It will cost us this amount. And then once the department transfers the money, the agreement is made, all of a sudden the project will be incomplete. The municipality then comes again and says, no, we are running short of money. So I think we perhaps need to get clarity as to what needs to happen. And also, this issue is linked to the Department of Sports and Recreation, if I remember. This is of the grant that belongs to the municipality, and not in total control of the national department. Like for an example, Hochstar, for an example, would have to administer a grant or allocate and so forth. I mean, that is a problem, Honorable Chair. Even in Department of Sports and Recreation, they will continuously raise the issue, you know. The department needs to find a way of trying to manage it. Because ultimately, when there's an underperformance in terms of the grant, it does not go to that municipality only. It also comes back to the department. And for something that you did not do, only because you send the money and then people are underperforming, so it comes back to you in terms of the financial management and audit outcomes. So I think also we need to get clarity, Minister, in terms of that. I also want to appreciate Honourable Minister getting this opportunity. The Department of Water and Sanitation, there's a project which was funded. It's an initiative that came to us as a provincial delegation in the Northern Cape. We identified an area. The community lived next to the river, a kilometer from the location. There was no water in that location. There were problems of water. Service delivery process. We came to the department and discussed it. And then our request was taken into consideration. And I think it was a good thing. I normally go there and check, and there's quite a substantial percentage of improvement and implementation of the project. The water is still coming, but I can see there is some good work that is done. So I appreciate that, and thank you very much for that. And then the last thing, Honorable Minister, what I want to find out, the story which I read, it was in the social media. Facebook and blah, blah, blah. So I don't rely too much on those things because I normally want to get a perspective or an official statement from the department around the irregular expenditure. I think it was 4.5 billion. Now when I read again, it's standing at 6.4. So because we are going to a debate, it's important for us to be properly clarified in that regard. Thanks.
Thanks, Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, the Department, colleagues. I would also thank the Honourable for the presentation, Minister. And start with the small presentation that was made by the acting DG, or by the acting DG. Mungo, you are talking on page 6 about the restructuring of the department. What I would like to know is what has informed this restructuring, because this department is something like quite important. But you are already restructuring. What has informed this restructuring? So that you don't leave us guessing. Then two or three years ago, the Deputy Minister, I won't remember, the department told us that there was, in addition to the leaks that are a problem all over the country, they also reported the problem of water that was getting looted, especially by the big farmers. can we get a, an information on how far has the department dealt with that? Is it still an issue? Has it been sorted out? How far have you gone in trying to care for that, that problem? Slide 15, the number of dams that are privately owned and the state dams, the private ones are 4,000. Now what I would like to know is, could there be a possibility of maybe getting into some kind of agreement with the people who own these dams so that at least in the areas where they are located, if there are settlements there, that people closer to those dams can benefit. I remember in one of the taking parliament to the people program when we were in the Western Cape, in the municipality of Toronto, there was a problem there that every year they run short of water in the dams. And when that happens, they have to buy water in bulk from the farmers. And they spend a lot of money. The water they have to purchase is very expensive when they have it. Whereas maybe if the department can engage with some of these people on these dams, maybe that problem can be solved in a way so that municipalities don't have to spend a lot of money only when an incident is happening. So that you have a standing agreement with the people on these dams. They are in South Africa anyway, so it should be. It would be easier for the department to negotiate that. The vacancies at 1,000, well, anyway, we understand, like I'm saying, we're a new department, but that is a lot. On slide 34, you are talking about the master plans. For example, KZN, there are 5 master plans, which tells me that because we have 11 districts, but I don't know, I'm just contributing. There are then 6 districts that do not have master plans. I want to find out if I'm correct. Does it mean that there are municipalities that have not yet developed their master plans? And slide 41 and 42. A minimal budget is allocated to the Western Cape. Again, I don't want to conclude because I will make a mistake of concluding politically if I were to conclude. I just want to find out if that idea, in view of the current situation that the Western Cape is currently experiencing. And then, slide 48, the non-compliant area, can you give us the specific area? Because in the case of KwaZulu-Natal, it's at 394. As a person who comes from KwaZulu-Natal, I'd like to know which areas are those. And then slide 52, you talk about understanding for 400 million. In the same page, you talk about the 134 million overdraft. To a layman person, it doesn't make sense that you say you have understood, but you have an overdraft. If you can just not explain it in accounting terms and explain it in political terms, so that it makes sense, because right now it doesn't make sense that you say you have money that you have not spent, but you have money that you have borrowed. Why borrow when you have money that you have not spent? And then, I think this is the last one, Jefferson. On slide 63, you again say that in the current budget, you have a surplus.
why do you call it a surplus? Does it mean that all your needs have been catered for? Then you have a surplus. If you can also explain that to me, because I don't see how you can have a surplus when there is so much need in the country. If you can explain what you mean by surplus. Thank you.
Thank you, Shepherdson. First and foremost, let me just commend the department for the quality of the department. It is, to me, it is very professional. After looking at the program, you attach the budget properly, you attach the budget. I think it's very well connected. The Western Island, the Okalapoki program, which is secondly, I want to commend the department as a minister. I was head of the management before, and the deputy also was a person. Just to say that probably this is the last interview they talk to the community, but they do want to thank the department, particularly the honorable name of the team. The deputy minister, she's like a mother. She went with us all the way through. Giving us the direction from the service department. That is for an appreciation. Very big appreciation. The attitude, honorable minister, was one different from your previous woman. Gives that you are competent to teach it. The attitude, before anything is good, and the attitude does speak about old demeanor, that things are going to change for the department. This department is one of those departments that are in the face of the people, because you are dealing with a commodity that is in every household, depends on for survival. So we just hope that the systems, the changes that you intend bringing about are meant to improve the quality of the lives of the people out there. When you address the minister the issue of ridiculousness, when you lay down the pipes, you do everything, you raise hopes in the hearts of the people, that water is coming, water is just around the corner. And when a drop is not coming out of the infrastructure, people are getting despondent, and it is air around them. So I was happy when you said in your opening remarks, you are on the issue of water and circulation, and look forward and means whereby you are going to assist the municipalities back within the framework. I hope that you speak it so to be able to see. Okay. I did not see Josine and I don't know. I would like to know progress or not expecting about the Josine Grant in his okay. Because it is such a huge deal, but people around the area, the last I knew, had not started to benefit from the benefits, so I'm not sure what purpose the linking has to. And then the IMTT, the Deputy Minister, the Commission,
work for the better, because they're going to deal with all those issues of water quality and electric issues as a collective. And it's going to speed up the issues. I'm worried about the percentage of water loss events. It's 5.9 million. I don't know how our OBD is that. And the water that is not revenue, where we don't derive the income, but we're still receiving it. I don't know how this is going to be resolved, Minister, against the background of war on this. They were certain, I can show all of the problems continue, or it is going to continue for something else. I just think that it's a different, because I know that it has its own problems. Targeted procurement for black entrepreneurs. I seek clarity also on that matter. How do you say those that are banned, where and how are they going to assist the black entrepreneurs? That is what we need. We need to capacitate our youth to get involved in business and business also in the water space. Rainwater harvesting. Rainwater harvesting. I don't know how much this department is investing on rainwater harvesting. I don't know really if they've done much along those lines, because we've been able to make savings and access the people to get water. We invest some of or part of our harvest to rainwater harvesting. Especially in those areas where there is no electricity needed, that has to be emphasized in the proper. And adaptation of participation, how do you do it where there is no electricity? If we eradicate the participation, there has to be water electricity. And in the absence of water electricity, how do we then eradicate or what system are we going to use? In slide 42, allocations from the regional bulk water supply is the same. As compared to all the other provinces, that was just a clarity in the region. Non-compliance. Of the system, that's going to assist us when we conduct our provincial meeting to talk to municipalities about the non-compliance system. Why are they waiting for this system? Why are they non-compliant? Do they follow the regulations and the rules? Do they use professionals that are qualified in putting the systems to them? As public representatives, it's going to assist. Last week, Honourable Minister, I'm happy that you are looking into the issue of the water trading and you speak about the flood crisis. In fact, I think there will be a lot of questions in that 10 minutes. As one was wondering, why is it that they really are a tender? Like all the other entities, why is it that they are not accounting in the department there? So if you are looking into that, maybe it is going to assist. And also, for financial controls, we manage that kind of issue. The privately owned them, I don't know if it is not bordering along coding of a natural commodity that everything should be enjoying. But I do not to get into that. Just like holding energy, accumulating energy and you deserve it for yourself. Nobody can be able to access it unless they pay management. I don't want to speak into it, because maybe the argument is that they build the dams from their own, but the commodity contains their by arrangement by all the people around the area with involvement of others. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I want to start with the last one that Juan has already spoken to, the issue of everything. I think it is a political like then, just before the democratic government took over the land was given a chance. Now, municipalities are not able to open government, they can't. The special planning to the municipality, it goes further to what gets planted. They still plant maize and they used to grow. It's more macadamia leaves and that, that is not contributing to the well-being of the people. And if you hear people talking that our plan was to take over Haiti, it means all these things were done so that we know that by this year people would have been fed up because they can't get this and make it. You're talking of land, you're talking of food, you're talking electricity. We're talking water. Can't be right now. Paid only 810 and private 2,600. Can't be right. Who is having water right? It can't be right. These are the things that we did not do. Maybe it's because of the negotiation settlement which compromised us. It might be that go and look into this. It can be people all the time are on the road protesting. Out of three protests, two is what. But you have people, 4,600. And people are under so many fires and six again. Gombela is good at. But if you hate me, I think Gombela does not have this there. But again, the five people big. Big like this. These five people don't have to be protesting. These five people are using phones and enjoying themselves, touring each other. It can't be right. Maybe this is an area that you have to explore. I hear all I'm saying, maybe negotiate. Maybe take a headline. Maybe let's say we have line on this. We can't be talking about that. But not that we don't have what. Okay. This is an evidence that we do have them. We need to do something on this. We can't be right that we do that. The second matter is on the water utility company. The value add. Service add value. When we come up with this situation, we think because we have a lot of bureaucracy in government, there are things that we can't do because the private company can do it. But we have even more problems with it. But it's a value, or do we have to reconfigure it? I hear that, yes, I fully agree with you, support you, but you have to report to the department. But is it going to change? Is it going to add value? Why do we have a problem with it, which was created to assist us to deal with the revenue? But the problem itself is a problem to the revenue. And in value add, I asked last time, even themselves could know they were here, what value add is. If we have a problem of water boards, one who pays money in your head, so why are you there? That was my question. I still need an answer. But maybe look deeper than them reporting to you. Go deeper. Does it really exist? Look at other utilities that are functioning, maybe copy on what they're doing, just to make ours work. I think that's one thing that we need to do with that utility company. anything for Mpumalanga. I don't see anything. I did not see a project for Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga is not well off. We have challenges like any other problem. Maybe it's because we don't talk too much, but me, I do talk to you. Maybe I'm not saying I have to climb on the table. Maybe they will understand what I'm saying. I don't see a project for Mpumalanga. You see, other. I'm not complaining that other provinces have got no, but there must be a share. There must be a share of projects. I think the first project will be that Mpumalanga Dam. That Mpumalanga Dam really something to compromise. Now, Mpumalanga Dam, I'm not sure. Really fighting. We need to have a Dam. If you have to take the one from these people and give it to us, fine. No, not from you. From the private. I will not go to government from private. You know, from them. Is it a stage then for the private to own the problem is in the end of the state owns. So that is why these people from JJS Morog are saying let them get water from that dam. I don't know how we need to follow up on this thing because this is really continuous in talking about this, but nothing has been done. The water services grant means to municipalities. I was laughing when you said earlier, you heard that this other municipality has paid. You know what happened? They might have taken the grant to pay. You know what happened to the with you, the problem has been solved because they paid very much. But the municipality has got a bigger problem with the state building that is used for other things. What happens now is that when you say, I'm not give you another grant until you come to the other one, they take money from other services. But that they owe a form now. It's a big problem. Not a small problem. When I say these municipalities do not have money to pay, take Bushbuck Ridge for example. Totally 100% water being generation. But rainwater is operating there. They will never ever, if they pay rainwater, it's grant funding. I'm being honest with you, I don't want you to go with thinking that maybe they will make money somewhere. In that local government area, there was an insistence that they must go and try and get people to pay water. Because what people are doing now, they move from town and stay in the rural area because they don't pay for services. That is why everyone has big houses in the rural area. So people can pay. They said while dealing with this issue of financing, of owing the Eskom and water for, but they must also try to get those people paid. And the traditional leaders are pledged to assist them in that water, in that local government way. But to be honest with you, if you see them paying, it's a grant funding. Later you'll come and say, but you did not do anything with it. But I took care of them very gladly, very straight to you, over the water. Or whatever, and all the projects now are happening. That is why even the reticulation is not happening. Because this money is used for other things. Okay, then the last one I see, I don't know what, is this WSIG grant? What grant is that? Mpumalanga Dam, okay. I'm not speaking of Mpumalanga, only Mpumalanga, because I see almost all other municipalities do have. Maybe it's for rural areas, but if it's for rural areas, if so, the government they covered the issue of KwaZulu-Natal, the safety,